This is Exposé 247. It's good to be back, where we expose you to the undiluted truth of God's word. You know, the scripture says, how shall a young man, it's not only a young man, how shall a young man, a young lady, an elderly man, an elderly woman, an indeterminate gender cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. So we are calling you today, not just to listen to us or to hear us, but for you to take heed, to pay attention to what we're saying, to pay attention to this word, because it's not just that your life depends on it, it's actually your life. And we've started this knockout series trying to tell you how important it is to take attention and for you to be consciously aware of these eternal values of things you are holding so that you don't get robbed. We started on time and seasons, we started on giving, we talked about giving, we did Thanksgiving last weekend.
Yeah.
And today, I believe we are moving to a new team. So where are we going?
Viewers all over the world, thank you for joining us today on Knockout Series. And you see, like she said, we've been on this train for quite some while. And don't forget the vision behind this series. And that is Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. It said, beware that lest any man actually deceive you with vain traditions and the philosophies of men, that make the cross of Christ of no effect. So the vision behind Knockout Series is that we begin to look at things, practices, and traditions in the body of Christ that are depriving us from walking in the fullness of the benefit of what Christ paid for through redemption. And those are the things we've been looking at. And we've gone through some few topics in the past few weeks. And today, we actually kick-starting a whole different team as it concerns Knockout. And you see, there is no such topic that is so critical in the body of Christ today as the topic of prayer. And that's what we are talking about today, knocking out those false ideologies presenting themselves as truth as regards to the issue of prayer. And that's the thing we're knocking out on this series. But don't forget, we've said it in the past, don't think we're just knocking out for knocking out's sake. The reason these topics are so important is because if we don't actually take heed, if we don't actually take the caution, what happens is the way we engage these practices in the body of Christ can actually steal from us what Christ paid for through his death and resurrection. And that's what we're looking at this topic. So we're looking at knocking out those false ideologies as regards prayer in the body of Christ.
And to correct some people thinking, we are not knocking out persons. Yeah. Less persons embody this principle. We are just about the principles. The dogmas and all those traditions and beliefs, you know, unless somebody embodies that principles and dogmas. So it's the principle we are really attacking. And it's not that actually we are attacking, we are bringing those principles face to face with the scriptures.
That is it.
So it's not actually about a person or organization. But we just have to be truthful.
Okay, good. So thank you for joining us. Now, we're going to kickstart today in Knockout Series on Prayer. And we're going to kickstart from what is the scriptures in Matthew chapter 6. I mean, there is no one that can actually teach on the subject of prayer like Jesus himself. The embodiment of prayer. Jesus, who actually prayed all through his ministry. Jesus, who prayed, I mean, at major instances of his life and his ministry. And Jesus has become for us, you know, our model when it comes to the issue of prayer. We're still going to explore different aspects of the New Testament. We'll explore the epistles. We'll explore different parts of the scriptures. But we just want to kickstart this Knockout Series on prayer by looking at the very approach of Jesus. What Jesus has to say about prayer. Now, join us quickly as we read Matthew chapter 6. I'll read from verse 5. Now, it says, and when thou pray, do not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, stand in the synagogues and the corners of the street, so that they can be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when you pray, enter into your closet. That's Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. And when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret shall reward you openly. Now, before we actually take this journey through what Jesus has to say about the notion of prayer, quickly, what we have to clarify is the backdrop or the background of this particular statement. I mean, I say this. If we want to do correct exegesis of the scriptures, if we need to do correct an analysis and to know what's the mindset of God in putting a particular scripture in the Bible, context is very important. The background. What happened? Why did he say what he said? Who were those there? Who were the audience when what was said was said? Those things are very paramount to understanding what is the mind of God in that scripture. Don't forget, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 tells us that we should be rightly dividing the word of truth. And if there's a rightly dividing of the word, it means there has to be a wrong division of the word. So it means for us to understand, did Jesus just start teaching about the issue of prayer? And if you notice, if you look at verse 4, he was talking about giving alms and, you know, giving things to the poor. I mean, how come Jesus switched from verse 4 about talking about giving to the poor and he switched to verse 5 talking about prayer? It means we need to understand the background so that we can get the revelation of the Spirit of God in this Matthew chapter 6. Now, please, if you want to get the background of what Jesus has to say about the issue of prayer in Matthew 6:6, we need to look at the context. And quickly, if you join us, go to Luke chapter 11. Luke 11 will give us the background of Matthew 6:6. Now, don't forget that the scriptures were written by holy men who received revelation of the Spirit to pen down what God was speaking to them. It means there are times that we cannot get the full gist of any particular event in the scriptures unless we combine different books and chapters of the Bible to look at the same situation. In fact, the book of Isaiah says, I, the Lord, will speak to them line upon line, precept upon precept, a little there and a little here. That's how God speaks to us. That's why we have the responsibility to labor in the word to get a revelation of the Spirit. Again, if you are just joining us today on this Knockout Series on prayer, we're looking at this particular Matthew 6 verse 6 to see what the Lord Jesus himself has to say to the church about prayer. But of course, in Matthew 6:6, we don't actually get the context, what actually happened before Jesus began to give this discourse on prayer. So again, we have to beckon to Dr. Luke in the book of Luke to tell us the context of what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. So let's see what the book of Luke chapter 11 has to say about what actually was the situation when Jesus began to give this. Can you read, please, from Luke 11, from verse 1?
This is Good News Bible.
Okay. Is what? That Good News Bible? Okay, yeah. I think I need to read the New KJV. Then we can, if you can read New KJV, that would be great. Okay. Now, if you're just joining us again, we are on Knockout Series on Prayer, a very hot topic in the body of Christ. And it's something we have to look at on this Knockout Series. Now, what does Luke 11 say?
And it came to pass,
okay,
that as he was praying in a certain place,
mm-hmm,
when he sees,
okay,
one of his disciples said unto him,
yes, please,
Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.
Now, you will wonder, why are we moving from Matthew chapter 6, verse 6? Why have we come to Luke chapter 11? Just hold on. You will know the reason very soon. Now, the reason we have come to Luke 11 is to study the background of Matthew chapter 6, verse 6, to know why Jesus began to give the discourse on prayer. Now, we've come to Luke 11, and before we actually do a kind of exegesis on Luke 11, we need to see the connection first between Luke 11 and Matthew 6, so that we can then take time to actually break down Luke 11. Now, if you read on from Luke 11, we read verse 1. Can you read verse 2, please?
And he said unto them,
okay,
when ye pray,
okay, go on, please.
Say,
yes,
our Father.
Okay, so you can stop there. It means then we can see from Luke 11 that when they asked Jesus to teach them to pray, Jesus taught them the model prayer, which is our Father. I think most of us know that prayer, who art in heaven. Now, we know what was happening in this place. Now, hold your Bible then, and let's go back to Matthew 6. Now, what we are trying to do is to establish our listeners that we are trying to establish the background of Matthew 6:6. Can we make a connection between Luke 11 and Matthew 6? Now, we can see in Luke 11, Jesus taught them the model prayer when they asked him to teach them to pray. So, if you look at Matthew chapter 6 again, we're going back to Matthew 6:6. Now, if you look at Matthew 6:7, what is it in 6:7?
But when you pray,
okay, yeah?
Use not vain repetition,
okay,
as the heathen do,
okay,
for they think,
mm-hmm,
that they shall be heard for their much speaking.
Verse 8, please. We're trying to establish something. Go on.
Be not ye therefore like unto them.
Okay.
For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of.
Okay.
Before ye ask him.
Look at verse 9, please. Now, listeners, listen to verse 9.
After this manner, therefore, pray ye.
Okay. Our Father. So that means, if you are just joining us, we've established the fact that this particular Matthew 6, from verse 6 to, up to, verse 10, 11, was actually what Jesus, it was actually that in Matthew 6:6, Jesus did not just begin to give a discourse on prayer. Luke 11 told us that before Jesus taught them the Lord's Prayer, which we call Lord's Prayer, it was because somebody asked him a question in Luke 11, verse 1. It was, so Jesus did not just start teaching on prayer. It was actually propelled in Luke 11 tells us. See, Dr. Luke gives us the background of what is in Matthew 6, 6 to 11 or to 13. So Luke tells us that Jesus just finished praying in Luke 11, verse 1, when somebody then asked Jesus, can you teach us to pray? And please, listeners, viewers all over the world, sorry. Now, one thing we've established is, have you noticed in the ministry of Jesus, I began to search the old Bible and I began to ask a question. At what stage, at what point in time did the disciples ask Jesus to teach them to do something? I began to search the Bible. I began to search, did they ask Jesus to teach them how to evangelize? To the lost and to those who are perishing. At what point did these disciples ask Jesus to teach them leadership skills? Of course, Jesus had leadership skills. Jesus was someone who was managing not just the 12, but he had the capacity for crowd management. We know that. And we didn't see any part in the scriptures, in the book of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where the disciple asked Jesus, can we learn leadership skills from you? Now, but you see, what was critical is they asked Jesus to teach them to what?
To pray.
What comes across in that verse is prayer might not be as easy as we think it is. Now, let's break it down a bit further. For example, you and I agree there are so many things that you can do by just observation. Yeah. There are so many things you can actually carry out by looking at what other people do. And of course, Jesus' disciples have seen Jesus. They have seen Jesus doing so many things. In fact, we have seen the fact that they actually tried to cast out devils. By the time, there was a time they went to do deliverance and they couldn't cast the demon out. Have you noticed, before they could cast out that demon, they didn't ask Jesus, how do we cast that demon? In fact, they had to do it until they failed and they asked Jesus, why could we not do it? But the fact is, by just simply observing Jesus, there were some things they could do. They picked up a lot of things. But for the fact that these disciples will ask Jesus, teach us to pray, sounds to me then, that prayer may not be as easy as a thing as we think it is. Mm. It is something that they could not even learn by observation. Yeah. It was something they could not just pick up like that. It means prayer might not be as dead easy as we think it is. And I think the reason why so many people have picked up wrong habits in the place of prayer is that most of our prayer techniques and strategies were things we picked up by simple observation. Mm. We have not gone to the Master, the Lord Himself, to give us the principles, the techniques, the strategies, the paradigm, the mentalities that surround prayer. And you see, the disciples could have just said, we saw Jesus praying anyway. At least some of them. In fact, may I submit to you that most likely these disciples whoever asked Jesus in Luke 11 verse 1 must have seen the Pharisees praying. Come on, these are disciples. Thank you for that. They saw John taught the disciples to pray. They saw, in fact, if you notice, as we go back to Matthew chapter 6 very soon, that Jesus began to compare the Pharisees were praying to where they shouldn't pray. It means that Jesus assumed that these people have seen the Pharisees praying.
Yeah.
What I'm simply trying to tell us is that these people who asked Jesus to teach them to pray actually have seen people praying.
Yeah.
They've observed people praying, but yet they knew there was something about Jesus and the life of prayer that he has that was not just commonplace. If it was commonplace, they could have just prayed by observation. There was no point asking Jesus to teach them to pray. So may I say this? It means if you are listening to us today on this Knockout series on prayer, you might want to, with all humility, listen to the things that we have to share through the Word of God on prayer and not assume that you've learned how to pray by simple observation or by popular opinion in the body of Christ about the notion of prayer. So thank God for the wisdom of the disciples. Even though they have seen prayer, they've seen John taught the disciples to pray. They've seen the Pharisees pray. They've seen prayer at every level and at every realm. But yet, they had to take the humility to ask Jesus. There's got to be something about how you pray and what you know about prayer. Can you just let us know about it, Jesus? And I think that's a question we need to ask, to set aside. And you see, before we carry on, you have to admit that they had to set aside what they knew about prayer.
Yeah.
Because we cannot simply say they knew nothing about prayer. That's not true. In fact, don't forget that Peter and Andrew, who were the disciples of John the Baptist, who switched over to Jesus Christ, had seen John the Baptist teach them to pray. But they asked Jesus, there's got to be something that Jesus had to offer about prayer. There is something that Jesus himself, in his earthly walk with the Father, knew about prayer that they think they ought to know. So if we go back again to that Luke 11, they asked Jesus, teach us to pray. And that is what we are here to talk about on this knockout series today. Now, quickly, do you know that in Luke 11, from verse 1, as soon as they asked Jesus to teach them to pray, you know, if you read the book of Luke chapter 11, you will get this idea that as soon as they asked Jesus to teach them to pray, that verse 2, Jesus began to teach them the Lord's Prayer. That is what that's the idea that you have. And again, I repeat, the Bible is the book of Isaiah, that line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here and a little there. That's why we labor in the word to get the full gist of what the word has to say. If you notice, if you read the book of Luke chapter 11 casually, you will think that from verse 1, it jumps straight to verse 2. But if you go back to the book of Matthew chapter 6, you would notice when Jesus began to teach on prayer in Matthew 6. Now, if you are just joining us, we've established the fact that the background of Matthew 6 verse 6 downwards is the same background of Luke 11. And we established that because of the Lord's Prayer. If you go back to Matthew 6, you see, if you notice, the Lord's Prayer started in Matthew 6, verse 9. Can you see that? But if you notice, there was Matthew 6 from verse 6 to verse 8. So now we know that Jesus did not just start teaching them the Lord's Prayer, as Luke 11, 2 made us to understand. Actually, Jesus first taught on prayer from Matthew 6, from verse 6 to 8, before he began to teach them the Lord's Prayer from verse 9. Now, why have we said this? Have you noticed? If you look at Matthew chapter 6, from verse 6 to verse 8, it was all about what they shouldn't do about prayer. Mm-hmm. Now, somebody asked us a question on one of our videos, and the person said, why don't you just teach what is the right thing and stop knocking out whatever you want to knock out? Now, for the person or any other person that has such a kind of mentality, we appreciate you, because we know that you want to make sure that we avoid being controversial. That's a very good thing. But may I say to you, nobody does knock out like Jesus. Again, I repeat, nobody does knock out like Jesus, because Jesus was going to teach on the Lord's Prayer. And I would have thought Jesus just said, okay, now in this manner, pray. Let's go from Matthew chapter 6 to verse 9. But do you know Jesus did not just go straight to the Lord's Prayer? And by teaching Matthew 6 verse 9, Jesus first began the expose on prayer from Matthew chapter 6 from verse 6 to 8. What he did from verse 6 to 8 was to knock out the wrong mentalities about prayer. And the reason why he had to knock out those wrong mentalities is because, I repeat, if you notice, the disciples at that time were in the midst of people who were already praying. We've established the fact that the Pharisees were already praying. We've established the fact that John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. So Jesus knew it would be an unfruitful exercise to start teaching the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6 verse 9 without knocking out of their mentality those wrong ideologies about prayer. And that's why Jesus did not start teaching on prayer until he first did a knockout on prayer from Matthew verse chapter 6 from verse 6 to verse 8. So this is the reason we are knocking out. Before we begin to establish the truth, we need to knock out all those false ideologies. And Jesus Christ, per se, is our prime example in such an approach to the issue of prayer. So what we're going to simply do now is to go back to what Jesus began to knock out. You see, so we've already established the fact, if you're following us and if you're just joining us, we've established the fact that of the context, the background, why Jesus began to teach on prayer. And also we've established the fact that Jesus did not just go straight to teach the Lord's Prayer. According to Luke 11, 2, he did a knockout on the wrong mentalities regarding prayer. And you know one thing? One of the critical reasons why we need to knock out is, if we don't knock out and we start teaching on prayer, what happens is we have the tendency of sieving through everything we are saying with a false ideology. So that's the reason we need to do that. Because Jesus said something, you cannot put new wine in old wineskin. He said you need to make the wineskin to be new. And what we're simply doing today, if you're just joining us, we're trusting God as we begin to open our hearts to this knockout series on prayer, that every old wineskin, every old wineskin about prayer will receive a renewal, so that as we begin to get the revelation of what prayer is, it will come as a new wine into a new wineskin. Now going, let's go straight. So what we're doing now is to knock it out. Matthew chapter 6 from verse 6. From verse 5, it says, when you pray, now thank God for that. He said, when you pray, he didn't say if you pray. So Jesus is simply saying that by the time you're praying, he said, do not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray. Now it means Jesus is saying one thing for sure, that anyone can pray. Just because somebody is praying does not actually tell you about their level of spirituality. Now, again, we express the fact that prayer might not be as easy as some people think it is. It says hypocrites. It didn't say hypocrites pray. It said hypocrites love to pray. It means just because people love to pray doesn't mean they are doing it right. Again, I'll repeat. Now, you see, good intentions are very, very good. It is good for us to have sincerity when we approach God. But please, unfortunately, sincerity is not enough when it comes to the issue of the kingdom. Have you noticed one thing in the book of Hebrews chapter 11? He says something in verse 6. He said, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Have you noticed? He never said, without sincerity, it is impossible to please God. You can be completely sincere as long as what you are doing does not gender to faith. I'm very sorry, it amounts to nothing. That's what Jesus said in this place, that just because people love to what? To pray, it doesn't make them less of hypocritical in terms of how they approach prayer. So one thing we say is, just praying by itself, there is no virtue in prayer in itself. I'll repeat that again. There is no virtue in prayer as a notion. People pray in general. Have you noticed in our current generation, even those who don't believe in God, people who don't even have any knowledge of God, at times when something bad happens to someone, they say our prayers are with them. People pray. Anybody pray. People talk about prayer all over the place. In fact, people who don't, even people in other religion, people in other faith, people who believe in other things, even people talk about prayer. People have make prayer so common as something you just do just to quiet your what? Just to quieten your conscience. Jesus said, come on, see, pray just because people love to pray doesn't make them less hypocritical about prayer. And how does that affect you if you are listening to us today? It simply means that prayer in itself has no virtue. There's nothing about prayer. There's nothing special about prayer just because praying for praying's sake. No. So that means you can do hours and, decades of prayer, and there's nothing to them, because just because people love to pray doesn't make them less hypocritical when it comes to prayer. So Jesus gives us a notion about prayer in this place, that loving to pray doesn't really mean anything if it's not done in the context of kingdom revelation. And again, so he says, hypocrites, for they love to pray. He says, stand in the synagogues and in the corners of the street that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Now, he's simply saying, just because people love to pray and they pray is not necessarily a measure of spirituality. Again, that's one thing we have to establish today. Jesus is simply saying it's not a measure of spirituality. And I think the reason why Jesus made that statement is, if you are just joining us now, I'll repeat this again, and that this particular expose of Jesus was born out of somebody acting Jesus. One of the disciples asked Jesus in Luke chapter 12. The person asked Jesus, teach us to pray. We don't know why they actually asked Jesus that question. We don't know why they actually requested Jesus to teach them to pray. It could be that the person thought, well, if Jesus was praying that long, he must be really spiritual. We don't know the reason why the person asked Jesus. But Jesus is simply saying here, just because people are praying and all that is not really a measure of spirituality. There can be so many motivations why people pray. Can you see? People can have ulterior motives, different motivations for why they pray. And very soon, you understand motivations that are anti-Christ for prayer. So Jesus was attacking motivation here. He said, it's not about prayer that matters. It's about what's the motivation. He said, these people here, in this particular Matthew 6, verse 5, 6, it says, they love to pray because they have a different motivation. They just want to be seen of men. And again, if you look at verse 6, it said, but when you, can you see, when you pray, can you see that? Again, it's saying, when you pray, what it said, enter into your closet, and when you shut the door, pray to the Father who is in secret, and your Father that sees in secret shall reward you up openly. Now, can you see that? Now, again, look at verse 7. Now, again, it's still attacking motivation for prayer. Look at the next verse 7. It said, but when you pray again, it said, use not vain repetitions, now, as the heathens do. Now, for they think, now, we're going to slow down at this stage. Don't forget, we are on the knockout of Jesus on the issue of prayer. He said, for they think. That means when people pray, can you see that? It matters what you think when you pray. Now, I know so many people are much more poised about prayer rather than we are poised about what we think when we are praying. Now, I'll repeat this again. What you are thinking when you are praying is as important as your prayer. Jesus said in this place, he said, these people I'm talking about, when they pray, they don't make vain repetitions, for they think. Now, if you listen to one of our previous, knockout series and expose, we mentioned Ephesians chapter 3. And it's, I think it was verse 20. It says, to God who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more above what you could ask or think. Now, you see that? It means it's not just you're asking God that is the issue about prayer. What are you thinking in the place of prayer? Now, the reason why what you are thinking in the place of prayer is critical is because what you eventually get in the place of prayer is not just predominantly what you are asking, but also what you are thinking. So Jesus is simply saying to us that it is not enough to rush to the place of prayer. You know, when they are having prayer meetings or they are getting a prayer convention or a prayer meeting or a prayer, whatever it is, or a prayer conference, Jesus Christ said, it's not about the fact that you are asking. What were you thinking in the place of prayer? And I think a lot of responsibility lies on us then, so that in Romans chapter 12, what it simply says about the fact our minds being what? Renewed. We at times, when we approach the Father in the place of prayer, it is quite unfortunate that at times we approach the Father with unrenewed minds. Unrenewed minds. So what the Bible simply tells us is our minds need to be what? Renewed in the place of prayer. So again, we go on. It says, but when you pray, it says, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think. Now the question is, what are you thinking? What is the quality of your thought in the place of prayer? Are you thinking in a way that is anti-faith? Are you thinking in a way that is anti-Christ? Or a way that is anti-the gospel? Your thinking has a lot to do with what happens to you in the place of prayer. And I think we need to overemphasize this, if need be, that our thinking has a lot to do with what happens to us in the place of prayer. So here goes Jesus. Is that the reason why these people have a problem? Is for they think. Can you see? For they think they shall be heard, for they are much what? Speaking. Can you see that? Now, when Jesus said this, what I thought was, I mean, initially, when I read this, when I used to read this in the past, I used to think, well, Jesus was saying that when they pray, the reason why they use vain repetition, repeating what they have to say over and over again, is so that other people can hear them that they are what? They are praying. Now, if you look at this, look at the next verse. It says, be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knows what things you need before you ask him. So now, it means then that the person that we're hoping will hear them by their vain repetition was the Father. Jesus said, the Father, he knows what you need. Why the screaming and the vain repetition? Why are you trying to talk to a Father as if he's deaf? Or as if, unless you push the case in front of the pile? You know, I'll tell you something. The way some of us approach the place of prayer, and you see, may I say this? We are not pointing fingers at anyone. We're not pointing fingers at you and simply saying that we have been vindicated. Please, whatever we are talking about today are things that we have gone through. They are experiences that we have gone through in the past ourselves until the Lord brought us light onto what is simply saying. So we are not in a way accusation or pointing fingers. What we are simply saying, and Jesus is saying here, that don't pray like the God you are praying to doesn't even know about your situation. He says, by the time some people keep repeating vain repetitions, he said the reason they do that is because they think. Now, I'm not going to even talk too much about the vain repetition. What we're going to focus on is what are those people thinking? Jesus said, people, they think that because of the fact that they can push the case, they can repeat it and say it again and again, the Father will hear. How did I know that? Because the next verse simply says, he said, for they thought, he said, that they will be heard, but they are much speaking. And Jesus then said in verse 8, he said, don't be like them. Why should you not be like them? Don't be like them because you know that your Father knows what you need before you even speak, before you even talk. Now, the question is, Jesus is simply attacking mentalities in the place of prayer. And I think what our goal on this knockout series is to deal with mentalities. See, at times we rush to the place of prayer without dealing with what? The mentalities prior to the prayer. So that's what this knockout series on prayer is all about. Knocking out the wrong mentalities, the wrong ideologies that actually makes prayer of no effect. Now, we've established some things that Jesus has spoken about in Matthew chapter 6, from verse 5 up to verse 8. The question is, what are we thinking about in the place of prayer? And have you noticed what is so critical about verse 8? It says, for your heavenly Father. My question is, what are we thinking about the Father? What idea do we have about the Father that we are praying to in the place of prayer? Jesus said, what you think about the Father can block or can limit or can actually mess around the quality and the effectiveness of our prayer, what we are thinking. Or are we thinking about the Father whom, unless you, you know, these are times we think about the Father. We think he has a lot of pies of cases of people before him. And you see, I have to, in a way, convince him and push my own case to the front so that, because he's not even aware of what is actually happening. Now, if you go to the place of prayer about a father who has no idea or who is indifferent to your situation, and you are pushing in the place of prayer with that mentality, Jesus said, you've just wasted your time in the place of prayer. That's a wrong thinking. So the first thing Jesus begins to do in this place is to tell people, when you go into the place of prayer, what are you thinking about? What is your thinking? What's your thought pattern about your father? What are you thinking? What's your ideology? What do you think about the father? And you see, that's where we're going to kickstart today. That prayer must first of all start with the right view of the father. Again, we'll repeat that. Prayer must first of all start with the right view of the father. If you have the right view of the father, if you have the wrong view of the father, we'll pray amiss. We'll pray in the wrong way. And again, let's go back to Luke 11, which is where actually we've been moving between Luke 11 and Matthew chapter 6.
I think before we go into Luke 11 now, whichever okay. the chapter, I want to draw the attention of our viewers to the consistency in these mm-hmm. scriptures. Mm-hmm. Because in Matthew chapter 6, we see in Matthew chapter 6, it says, and when thou pray, mm-hmm. in verse 72, but when you pray. So, and it's not if you pray. Yeah. So telling you that prayer is a must, sort of. It's not like conditional that, in the journey, I may do without praying. When you pray. So it was not leaving any room for if. So it's not just something that some might want to indulge in and, you know, a step I do. I want to take, you know, some cults and some religions. They might feel like if you want to go to the next step. So if you really want to go into the next step, then you need to give yourself over to some of the practices. Well, for it's making this not optional. Prayer is not optional because we find the consistency in verse 5 and verse 7 when you pray. Then again, we're able to see in this knockout series and in this verse, in these verses that we've just read, I said we should not be intimidated by the length of people's prayer because it was telling that the people that love to pray and so the length, people that are gloat over the length, the duration and how long they could stay and bear up in place of prayer. Verse 5 was telling us we should not be intimidated. Even the hypocrites, they do that. You know, they have those that they gloat over the stamina and how long and the duration. And again, was talking about posture too, because we have found all these things correcting into the body of Christ and in our religious places, and where people have assumed they have come up with formulas and posture in place of prayers. People learn these postures, and some people because they join into they have to imbibe those culture and those posture, particular positioning, and some going to some particular places and standing against some walls and all those kind of things. We see that there's nothing new that is happening now that is not there. So we could really rely on the scripture and relate with scripture in these places. I tell you, prayer is not about the posture. Prayer is not about the length. Because we see some people that tell you, if you are not praying this at this time of the day, or something like as long as this time, or if you don't wake up at this particular time, then you are not a good Christian, you are not something. You can see that there's no pattern like that. There's no biblical pattern that talks about length. So nobody should judge you according to length. Nobody should judge you according to any posture. Yes. And then if you see any of those things, it does not connote spirituality, because it's a hypocrite who loves to do these things. The hypocrites are up and coming in this. You know, you can't beat them. Yes, in the place of prayer, you can't beat their standard. They have high standards in prayer. Those are those things. So if you are really looking up to somebody, I hope we are not looking up to an hypocrite. If you actually want to adopt. So we see in this prayer, we see in this place that prayer is a must. It's not optional because there's no if. Yeah, I was looking out for if. I couldn't find any if. So it's when you just have to pray, but we must not pray like the hypocrite. We must not go and connote and come up with a posture, come up with a length. There's nothing like that. And before we start talking about the mentality in which you started with.
Yeah, I mean, of course. And I think the issue of the posture and the length of prayer that you talked about, I mean,
it's a very divisive topic.
It's something that the first thing is, we've talked about how critical prayer is. If you notice, Luke chapter 18 tells us that men ought always
to pray
and not to faint. Yeah. So it means the opposite of praying is fainting. It means if people don't pray, then they faint. That's the
we
point.
We pray without ceasing, so people need
so,
to.
So unless as a Christian we imbibe the lifestyle of prayer, we're open to getting tired and fatigue and fainting. So of course, prayer is not an option, but as it were, it's very just like every other thing in the kingdom of God. People can take anything and make that thing an end in itself.
Yeah.
I mean, just praying, because if I don't pray, what would people think? Or if I don't pray, people think
how do you feel within yourself?
They think I'm backsliding. Or if I don't pray, people think I'm not keeping up with my spiritual responsibilities. If I don't pray, people will think that maybe I'm already getting slacking. And then when prayer then becomes an end in itself or something that we have to do so that people don't think otherwise about us, Jesus said, well, we missed the point.
Yeah.
We missed the point. That's not the point of prayer. And you see, don't forget what we're simply saying. If you're wondering, why are we talking about these things? Well, it's not us. Jesus was going to teach them the Lord's Prayer, but the first thing he did was to knock out those wrong mentalities about prayer. Because, I mean, that's important. You've talked about, it's not about the length of prayer. In fact, I mean, people say, well, some people say, if you're not praying 1 hour daily, in fact, there was a time, there was this thing that was popular then. I'm not sure if it's still quite popular now. People would quote Jesus when he said, can you not watch with me for 1 hour?
Yeah.
And people made something out of that and said, well, if you're not praying 1 hour daily as a Christian, you're not serious. And then the question you want to ask such people is it about praying the one? Is it just to mark the time? I'll get a wristwatch or maybe
stopwatch.
A stopwatch and say, well, time start and then 1 hour, bam, oh, I made it. I mean, Jesus said, if that's what you think prayer is, we missed the point. It's not about something to keep scores. It's not something for you to keep a track record of how spiritual you are and all this kind of stuff. And you see, that's the reason why the Pharisees were thinking they were larger than life. In fact, it makes sense for them to stand by the road mm-hmm. and make long prayers. And if there's a time Jesus Christ said they make those long prayers as a cover-up. He said after they've gone to devour widows' houses, then they go and make long prayers so that people don't think of them as otherwise. And see, Jesus said people can pray for so many reasons and there can be so many motivations for prayer. Or people can also use prayer as a way of presenting themselves as being spiritual. And Jesus said if we do all these things, we'll miss the whole point about prayer.
Yeah, we see, just like you mentioned prayer as a cover-up. We see most of the prayer points, mm-hmm. some of the time, prayers are just cover-up.
Mm-hmm.
Like what some people should give in obedience. Somebody just relying on God's word.
Yeah.
And just working, they just want to use prayer to quieten their conscience.
Yeah.
And then to shift the responsibility.
Yeah, that's
it. Some of the, we mm-hmm. even see it in the Old Testament, when Saul mm-hmm. was you know, just to obey.
Mm-hmm.
They say, I brought this for sacrifice. I brought mm-hmm. this synonymous to prayer. Mm-hmm. I brought this to offer this unto God. But you know what it's to be done. For mm-hmm. people to take God's word,
mm-hmm.
you know, they wouldn't want to do that.
Oh, yeah.
They would rather just want to go and spend some hours. They find it easier
mm-hmm.
to spend some hours on mountains mm-hmm. and everything than to mm-hmm. take it
mm-hmm.
to God's word. So there are prayers that can be used as a cover up. And most of the time, we have to check ourselves, our praying, are we not doing it as a cover up?
Mm-hmm. That's
because there are some biblical truths that we don't want to embrace. We don't want to fall into, we don't want to take it only like mm-hmm. that. And so mm-hmm. we now go back into praying. Just to make up.
And thank you for making reference to that. And in our viewers, have you noticed that as soon as Jesus began to talk about the issue of posture, about the issue of length of prayer, about all these things. Now, don't forget. Now, if you wonder, I mean, I think we have this notion majorly. Most people think that every time you are talking about something being not in line with the integrity of God's word, people think the reason you talk about those things is because you're not working in those things yourself and you're just disdaining and the very things are condemning what you are not enjoying. Well, I beg to differ, because if you look at Jesus himself, the Bible did say to us that the very night, the night before Jesus made a choice of the 12 disciples, have you noticed, the Bible said he prayed all through the night, prior to making a choice about his disciples. So if Jesus prayed all through the night, we don't know how long that is, could be 5 hours or 6 hours or 7 hours that Jesus Christ prayed, would you think the same Jesus would be condemning him what the Pharisees were doing by making long prayers? I mean, so the reason Jesus condemned the Pharisees praying long prayers was not because he wasn't making long prayers himself. So it's not every time somebody talks about something being wrong, it's not because they're not walking the same thing themselves, or not because they're not walking in victory in the very same thing. So Jesus himself made long prayers, but yet Jesus said long prayers for the sake of long prayers is pointless.
There are several occasions beyond that where Jesus was withdrew to pray.
Yeah, I mean, prayed long prayers, prayed all through the night, and then may I just quickly chip this in? Don't forget that even when he prayed long prayers all through the night and he made the choice of the disciples, he still chose the devil. Now, Judas. I mean, that Judas, because Jesus said one of you is a devil. Now, the point we're trying to make is just because somebody is actually encountering trouble, didn't mean they didn't hear God when they make that choice in the place of prayer. I mean, that's just a cheap thing. We're going to look at that later on. But what we're trying to establish is Jesus, who actually condemned hypocritical long prayers, was himself a master of long prayers. Not just praying. He prayed all through night before he made it. So the reason he was condemning what they were doing is because they were making long prayers for the sake of long prayers, just as a measure to present themselves as being spiritual in the place. So what we have been looking at today is knocking out, we're knocking out with Jesus, if that's the word, because Jesus is the one doing knocking out now, not even us. So we're just knocking out with him and knocking out the wrong notion about prayer. So don't be intimidated by anybody when it comes to the issue of prayer. That's what Jesus is saying. Prayer is not a virtue in itself unless it is actually understood in the right perspective in the body of Christ. Now, as soon as Jesus talked about the issue of posture and length of prayer, have you noticed that he switched quickly to mentality?
Yeah.
Mentality was the next thing he switched to. Mentality is the next thing. All he said was, don't be like them who make vain repetitions for they think.
And then again, before we go into that, sorry for I have to cut you into that. That apart from it was today, because we are believing the Lord that people are getting free, they are getting their freedom as we are expressing God's word, bringing that word of liberty to people, that they are free from all the intimidation from the length, the intimidation from some posture. You know, some people will find some people they have their neck bent, you know, their anatomical their structure because they have length some things and the Bible, that's the only way. And some, you know, somebody was making, I don't know whether a joke, that there's somebody, a friend, they will just be nodding, they can't, because he has. Even when he's sitting still and not praying, because he had assumed that all his lifetime, then there is this freedom from the place of prayer too. Some people have attached the particular, oh, if anything happens, unless I get to that place, you know, that's when they can get their prayer answered, you know, particular mountain, under some coverings, or under some missions, under some Father in the Lord and the rest. But so Jesus was trying to say, it's not about length,
it's not about posture,
and it's not about the place. That's another thing. Standing in the street. So there's some place that people have found out by experience that that's the place for standing. When they stand on that place, when they go to that place, when they go to that, they are covered and that prayer can be done well and everything. We see it in this verse that even before he started talking about the mindset, it was he knocked out those. He knocked out about the length. I hope that we have solved the riddle about the length. It's not about the length and it's not about the posture and it's not about a particular place. That's why some people need to make some journey, pilgrimage to some place to go and pray and stand
because
on some walls.
That's where the power of God, that's if you want to speak to God directly without no interference, there's some places you have to go to. And if you look at John chapter 4, Jesus actually
about
told
the
them, it's not about this mountain, which is Mount Ebal, or that mountain, or Mount Gerizim. Jesus said, it's not about this mountain or that mountain. He said, they that we do it, we worship God, must do it in spirit and in truth. God is spirit. So God is not a location. God is not an habitation somewhere. God is not, you know, we cannot retreat, you cannot reverse God back to the Old Testament, Old Covenant. So what they simply say, it's not about the position, it's not about the length of prayer. It's not even about the location or the place of prayer. Jesus said, it's not about all these things. Prayer is not about all these things. That's what some people, and don't forget one thing, I think we made a bit of a reference to this, that if we talk about Pharisees in our days, we have this kind of wrong, in a way we think of them in a very negative light. But don't forget, in the days of Jesus, if you were living in the days of Jesus, the Pharisees were the grand masters of the temple. They were the spiritual headmasters. They were the, as it were,
look up to them.
They were the ones that were in the custodians of the scroll, the custodian of the word of God. If you want to know what God has to say, the only place you can go to was to the Pharisees. They were the ones, they were holy. They were people that were, in a way, you could call them humble. They were just the epitome of what spirituality is. And Jesus Christ said, well, if you want to pray, you cannot really learn from these people. You need to listen to what I have to say. And I think, as those who are listening to this knockout series today, we want to quote the book of James chapter 1, where he says that receive with meekness the engrafted word that's able to save your soul. It means at times one of the reasons why it's hard for us to receive what God is saying is the level of humility. And I think we need to take a note from the disciple who asked Jesus in Luke 11 verse 1, who said, teach us to pray. I want to find out who was that disciple. How can you be asking Jesus to teach you to pray when Pharisees are praying all over the place? There are so many examples for you to follow. You could have learned by observation. You're still asking Jesus to teach you to pray. It took a level of humility, I submit to you, for that disciple to ask that, because you could have seen people praying all over the place. This is not like the 21st century where you have everything so structured that you don't even know what somebody is doing the next door. In this place, this was, the normal village kind of life, the communal kind of life where you know what the next person is doing. So this person who asked Jesus teach him to pray must have seen people praying. But
as John taught his disciples.
Yeah, but this person said, Jesus, there's something you'd know about prayer that we'd like to know. And I think that should be our own disposition as well, mm-hmm. when it comes to the issue of prayer. And that's it. And then, so that we can carry on today, if you notice well, in the book of Matthew chapter 6, from that verse 5 up to verse 7, Matthew chapter 6, from verse 5 to verse 6, as soon as Jesus addressed the issue of posture, position, and length of prayer and location, as soon as he addressed that theme, immediately from the next, which is the verse 6, he began to talk about, so verse 7, he began to talk about the mentality in the place of prayer. And not just mentality, there was a particular mentality Jesus was knocking out. Mm-hmm. And that's the particular mentality we are starting with, because we're trusting God to go for quite some time on this knockout series on prayer. It's so loaded. Prayer is a very, very deep topic. It's broad, it's deep and broad. But Jesus began to attack the very first mentality. And I think this mentality should be of interest to you. And the very first wrong ideology about prayer that Jesus attacked was how people view the Father they were praying to. Mm. Jesus said, well, you have no business in the place of prayer to start with if you don't have the good view of the Father you're praying to. Mm-hmm. And if you notice, the book of Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. It said, for he that comes to God must believe that he is. I mean, you've got to, now when you say believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that seek him diligently. Now, it doesn't mean that they believe that God exists, that Noah's talking about, because how did I know that? Because James tells us that you believe there's a God. He said demons also believe, and they quake with fear. He said, so what have you done specially by just believing that God exists? I mean, Jesus said, and it's, of course, Hebrews 11 is not talking about that as the foundation of faith. What he's simply saying is that it's he that comes to God must believe. You see, that he is a reported speech. I mean, if for you to say to someone that the person must have said, I am. Yeah. If the person said, I am, then you say, he is. So he says, if anybody wants to come to God at all, Hebrews 11, 6, he must believe that Jesus said, I am that I am, that he is what he said he is, not what I think he is. Not what popular vote says he is. Not what my feelings. Not what my experience says he is. Not what my feelings say he is. Not what I think he is. But he is what he said he is. Said if anybody must come to God, he must believe that God is who he said he is. Not what we think God is. Not what we feel he is. Or not what I was told that he is. Or what not what experience told me that he is. Or not what the popular opinion told me he is. He said, if you come to God, at least the starting foundation is, he is the I am that I am. He is what he said he is. The Father is the Father that he calls himself. If he says he's a Father, Abba Father, he is Abba Father. He is not a tax master. He is not a hard tax master. He is not just a force in nature. He is not this, he's not that. He said, you must come with the accurate view of the Father. And Jesus said, unless we do that, there's no point praying. That's why he said in verse 7. He said, when you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think. Can you see that? They think. They have a thought pattern. And may I say this? Every time we come to the place of prayer, we always come with a thought pattern. It doesn't matter whether you think right or you think wrong about the Father you're praying to. The fact is, everybody comes with a mentality. We come with a baggage of mentality. We come with these loads of mentalities. And unless this mentality is dealt with and knocked out, if it's a wrong one, in the place of prayer, we will just be making what we call vain repetition. Now, let's break this down. Why is it vain? You know, the word vain means futile. Yeah. It means empty. You're making the words. Fruitless. The words are not achieving with the very effect they should be achieving. And you see, again, Jesus said something about this. He says, Jesus said, just because somebody is saying it over and over again doesn't make it effective. Oh, can you see that? It's called vain repetition. It's a repetition. We're making the statement in a place of prayer. We're saying the same thing. We're declaring the thing in the place of prayer. But Jesus is saying it has no effect. It's not achieving anything. It's not actually touching anything in the realm of the spirit. Now, I think no one who is listening to this, I suppose, wants to have that kind of prayer life where you are actually praying. But if the prayer, Jesus said, is possible for prayer to be vain, that means what we are learning from what Jesus is teaching about prayer is just because somebody is praying doesn't mean it's effective. Just because somebody is making the words, making the statement, just because somebody is making declarations doesn't mean it's effective. How do we know this? Because Jesus said there's something called vain repetition. It's a repetition. And again, what amazes me, and I think it should actually bother you as well, is Jesus is saying just because it's been repeated over and over again. You know, people at times we have this idea that if I insist or if I repeat or if I keep saying it and I don't give up about it, I think there's no way I wouldn't achieve a result in the place of prayer. Well, we can see Jesus saying we can have vain repetition. Repetition that is touching nothing. Repetition that is making no change in the realm of the spirit. And Jesus said it's very possible. And if Christ said it's possible, how can it be possible? Jesus said it is possible if we think wrongly in the place of prayer. Oh, now this is not really serious now. It means if I think wrongly in the place of prayer, I can be doing what we call repetition that is not effective. And if you look at verse 8, and we're going to look at this before we not go to Luke 11, verse 8 simply says, what is the wrong thinking there? Verse 8 tells us what the wrong thinking is. Look at Matthew 6, 8. It tells us what the wrong thinking is. Now, listen, this wrong thinking is so critical that it can make anyone pray repeatedly ineffectively. Can you see? Repeated, ineffective praying. Jesus said it's the thinking. Thinking about what? Look at verse 8. Be not ye therefore like to them. Don't be like them. It says, for your Father knows what things you need before you ask him. So it means Jesus now laid that broad foundation that it's about what we think about the Father. And the question we want to ask then is, before anybody can even engage successfully the heart of prayer, before anybody can engage productively or effectively the heart of prayer, what must first be settled in this person's revelation knowledge is, who do I see the Father to be? What revelation of the Father do I have? And Jesus said, unless we cross that hurdle, we will be ineffective in the place of prayer. Doesn't matter how many times we repeat what we are saying. And that's what he's saying.
Is it not surprising to see that when we move into the mentality, it's still all about the Father?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what expose is all about, revealing the Father. And he just wants us that nobody can do any effective prayer without the revelation.